Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For anybody that might be listening in and unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. Still, we started Building Fortunes Radio back in the tail end of 2012, beginning part of 2013, because I wanted a platform that would be able to give people the microphones, that would be able to give people the opportunity to speak about some important things related to home-based businesses and finances and other cool things like that. Well, I was doing some radio shows for a good friend of ours. Her name is still Doris Wood, and Doris Wood owns or ran the MLMIA, and Doris had a guest speaker whose name is still Janine Avila, and Janine was, again, a guest speaker with Doris, and I had a really great time interviewing Janine and listening to her stories, and because she was just a guest, she disappeared. You know, she was doing her own thing, and she called me up one day, and she said, I'd really like to do some more of those radio shows. And I said, I'd really like you to do some more of those radio shows. So we started to do our Building Fortunes radio shows every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Central, whenever the stars line up. So sometimes, you know, she's busy, I'm busy, stuff like that. It doesn't always line up. And sometimes we do our radio show ourselves, and then sometimes we have a guest. Well, today we have a returning guest, one of my favorite topics by one of our favorite guests, and I'll let Janine introduce him. But we are back, and I want to say, Janine, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I love doing this show. I was talking to our guest tonight earlier, and I was telling him this is one of the favorite parts of my week, and it truly is. And we've had our guest. He's a repeat guest. He's been on several times. And that means it's like the old Johnny Carson show. When you keep bringing, some of you are old enough to remember that. I know you are, Peter. So when you keep bringing somebody back, it means they're getting rave reviews. So our guest tonight is Evan Palmer, and he's the owner and operator of Bay Credit Restore. He's also been on before when he's an expert at LinkedIn and social media marketing. Evan's a great guy. He does his homework. And what I love about Evan is he researches all the things that I don't have time to do, and then he tells me. So I love having him on the show. And one of the things that's been very important to a lot of people is their credit. And Evan has done a true deep dive into the world of credit repair, credit restore, what you can do, all the things that people like me don't like to think about. And I love having people like Evan in my life because I know he's done the research. I trust him, and I know he knows what he's doing. And each time I've asked him to come back and get on our show, he comes back. We had a very popular show that Evan did talking about LinkedIn and social media marketing called Low Cost, No Cost Marketing. And if you go to JanineAvila.com or Building Fortunes Radio, you can find it in our archives. But thank you, Evan, for your time and for getting back on the show tonight. I know people are very concerned about their credit. The last 2 years have hit life hard, and a lot of people weren't working, or they were working, or they're trying to change their situation. So credit has actually been more relevant than ever. So thank you for being on the show, and appreciate any tips you can give our audience tonight that would just really help them, our listeners, of what they can do to not only restore their credit, but protect their credit. So if you want to start with a little background on yourself, I think that would be awesome.
Well, thank you, Janine. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate you having me back. And yeah, always a pleasure to share some info. I've had Bay Credit Restore now for, I've actually lost track. I think it's been 5 years. And have, like you said, done the deep dive and wrote a book last year during the shutdown. And it continues to be interesting. That's for sure.
Wait, did you just say you wrote a book?
I'm sorry?
Did you just say you wrote a book?
Yeah, I wrote a book called Growing Great Credit.
Great. And how can people get that book if they want it, just in case they're taking notes?
Yeah, it has. I haven't got it through to Amazon yet. Hopefully by the end of the year. It has to take a number behind all the other projects. But in the interim, just email me and I'll shoot you a copy.
Okay. Well,
it is available.
Follow up with that.
You know.
Yeah. Towards the end of the show. But I know you've got some great tips. We talked earlier today. So I'm just going to cut you loose to start sharing with our listening audience some things they can do.
Sure.
People like me, and I don't know about Peter, I'm so busy talking and working and in my side hustle and all the things that I do. A lot of times I overlook these things. What kind of ideas and recommendations do you have for people tonight?
Well, I always say, you know, check your credit report, fix what's wrong, and if you need some help, you know, seek it out. But let's just start with that. You know, everything starts with your credit report. And the information, the data that goes into making up each one of our credit reports is housed at the credit reporting bureaus. And you know them as Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Now, these are not nonprofit government organizations. These are for-profit, multi-billion-dollar, multinational corporations that maintain over 220 million consumer credit files. So if I tell you that they probably aren't too concerned about whether something's right or wrong on your report, you get the picture.
That's wild.
Okay. So that job of checking to make sure everything is right is yours. So you have to take ownership of that. And the way you do that is you start with getting a copy of your credit reports. And there's one for each bureau. And if you're going to work on your credit, you've got to make sure you have information from each of those three major organizations. So how do you do that? Best way, in my opinion, is to go to www.annualcreditreport.com. And you can get a free copy of your report from each of those bureaus. This is a website that in years past would provide you a free copy of your report once a year. However, at the beginning of the pandemic, the CARES Act was passed, and in that, there was a provision allowing for people to get a copy of their credit report every week.
So there's no limit.
Every week. And to my knowledge, that is going to be remain in place until April of 2022. Now, if you get a copy of your credit report from annualcreditreport.com, you'll notice that there's no scores that are attached to that. Why is that? Well, the scores are not part of the bureau's deliverable. The scores essentially are outsourced to other companies. They're an ancillary product. And the two top scoring companies that they outsource that to are FICO and VantageScore. And in those two scoring platforms, you do not have one score. You have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of credit scores, depending on the parameters that the potential lender or whoever it is that's checking your credit wants to use. So there are many makes and models of those cars, if you'll allow that analogy. And, you know, what do my pat answer when asked, you know, how do you deal with all of the confusing differences among all of these credit scores is this. Don't get hung up on the scores. Always put your attention on the ingredients that go into making up those scores, knowing that if you get the ingredients as good as you can get them, then the scores are going to take care of themselves. And I'll touch on what those ingredients are in a moment, but I just kind of wanted to stick on the topic of looking at your credit report. So when you have access to that credit report, what do you look at? Well, you look for stuff that's wrong, and you start with your personal information. You start at the very top. Is your name spelled correctly? middle initial. What's your date of birth? Social Security number? Address? These may seem like they don't carry a lot of weight, but with all, you know, there's multiple Evan Palmers just within the county that I live in. So you can imagine that data could get crisscrossed from one Evan Palmer to a different one. And one of the ways that that happens is through these personal ingredients like date of birth. If your Social Security number is off by one digit, you just got somebody else's profile. So these things are very important to look at. A second thing to look at are any accounts that are reporting negatively. And they're usually pretty easy to find on the reports. And these could be things like late payments, charge-offs, collections. In the same way that you're looking for mistakes on your personal information, you're also looking for inaccuracies in the way that these accounts are reported. And it may require that you go and request documentation from the original lender or originator of the credit to either prove or disprove what's being reported is correct. And if you find stuff that's wrong, write a letter. Don't dispute it online. That's a big no-no.
Write a letter. We can talk
about that at length. Write a letter. The old-fashioned way is put a stamp on the envelope and mail it to each one of the bureaus that has that information wrong with any kind of proof that you have that it's wrong. And yeah, there's multiple reasons why you need to do it that way. I guess the bottom line is that that's the way the law is written. Fair Credit Reporting Act is written in such a way that you retain all your rights only if you mail in the dispute. And it's pretty simple. You just write whatever comes to your mind. You know, I looked at a copy of my credit report. I found the following item. It's not reporting right. Here's why it's not reporting correctly. Please delete it or update it. And that's it. And it probably won't surprise you to know that could go, this could take many months for this to get resolved, and you have to stay on top of it.
All right, I want to interrupt you for a minute because I heard you say a couple of things that I want to make sure we underscore for our listening audience tonight. I heard you say you have to take control of it. It's your responsibility. I think sometimes people sit around and think that they'll email us or somebody should tell me. So I heard you say it's your responsibility. And the second thing is we can't sit around and assume that because of the way the world is today and we're email and we're Zoom and we're all about the internet. What I heard you say is it's old school. You send an actual hard copy letter, and that's because that's the way the law was written. That's what I heard you say.
Yep.
So I would actually like you to underscore, because what I've noticed is a lot of times people just assume that, well, that was the way we did it then, but this is how we do it now. But that's not how it is, if I'm hearing you correctly.
That is absolutely 100% correct. And, without getting into a lot of the particulars, just know that, I guess the bottom line, if you dispute something online and it gets deleted, let's say it's a negative item you want off your credit report, you dispute it online and the bureau says, great, we're going to delete it. It is highly likely that it will end up on your report next month again. And the reason why is that if you dispute online, the bureau disputing to is not required to check with the original creditor to find out the details of that account, which is crazy. But that's how it appears. So, and that's only one of several things that go awry when you dispute online. So don't do that. Print out a letter, type it up, print it out. And then what you need to do is also you have to include three very particular items of identification when you send in something to the credit bureaus. just to prove that it's you who is actually the one sending it in. You have to produce a photo ID, so a driver's license or a passport photo that has your name on it, proof of address, which oftentimes if you have a current address on your driver's license, well, you can take care of two of those items right there. If not, a utility bill, something that's got your name associated with your correct mailing address. And the third piece is a proof of your Social Security number linked to your name. So if you still have your Social Security card, a photocopy of that would do. Otherwise, you could perhaps attach a W-2 statement that has your Social Security number in your name, or maybe even the front page of a tax return. So those three items need to accompany.
I would like to proudly announce to our listening audience that I still have my original Social Security card from when I was in the sixth grade when I first got it. I have it right here.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I wanted my recognition.
You are breathing rarefied air right there.
I love it.
So anyways, that's the approach. You know, when you get a copy of your report, look for what's wrong, get it fixed. So returning to the topic of what goes into your credit score, you know, and I'm just going to stick with FICO since that's the biggest credit scoring organization. Let's just use a typical FICO score. There are five ingredients. And the first one is payment history, which accounts for 35% of your score. When you break that down, it's roughly equivalent to about 192 points. And it is all about paying your bills on time. That is what payment history is about. And I'll tell you, before I got into this business, I thought that I had perfect credit just because I paid my bills on time. And it turns out that's only worth 35% of the score.
Oh, wow.
But it's also the biggest piece of the pie, and it is very important. So the to-do item is pay your bills on time.
Through the pandemic, a lot of people lost their jobs and income. What do people do if they're in a position where they have not been paying their bills on time?
Yeah, well, there were in the CARES Act, there were a lot of provisions made for that. And really, it came down, and once again, the responsibility is put on the individual. But it was really, each person was responsible for working out some kind of, quote unquote, accommodation. That was the word that was used in the CARES Act. And by that, it was on you to call up your lender and say, look, I'm having trouble here. What can we do? Can we work something out? And the lender was really required to work something out with you. What that is was never specified in full. So what happened... in many cases, people were allowed to miss payments, and perhaps the term of the loan was simply extended to account for those months that were not paid. In some cases, lenders said, well, that's fine. All right, don't make a payment for a set amount of time here. But on such and such a date, we expect it all to be paid in full. So there weren't any uniform guidelines, and therefore it's a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, obviously the last year was remarkable in many ways, and that's a big one, is that a lot of people were not making payments. And I bet you can figure out what happened. But
right.
Something
so,
very interesting.
And I want to say this because we have to take a commercial break. But if you're listening, you're taking notes, take responsibility, take action, don't hide from it. And we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back with Evelyn Palmer, and he'll tell you some more great things you can do to protect your credit and restore your credit.
Excellent information. We're going to be right back. And for those people, including Janine and Evan, I've made sure that we extended this so we'll have extra time because this is great information, so we don't have to worry about the 30-minute limit. For those people that are calling in on the phone, you'll stay on. If somebody might be connected online, they might be dropped off, but you'll be able to hear this again if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Janine. That's buildingfortunesradio.com/Janine. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PM Marketing's NetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to Janine Avila, and we have Evan Palmer. Evan has a guest page on Building Fortunes Radio, so if you're looking for the link to his website, which he'll give you, and any other information, you'll be able to find it. Go to buildingfortunesradio.com. Click on guests. Look for Evan, E-V-A-N, Palmer, like Arnold. I don't know if Evan plays golf, but it's like Palmer, and there we go. And he's got a book that's either coming out or not, but we'll make sure you have access to that information as well. And Janine, great stuff. And it's probably even more important today because so many people have probably been, you know, challenged by the things that have happened with the economy and the pandemic and, you know, challenges all across the board. There's probably a lot of people that have been touched one way or another, whether it's mortgages and late payments and conversations with people that call themselves Bob, who are you dealing with customer service, and you're like, I know your name's not Bob, you know, I know your name's not Bob, and you're wondering whether whatever he says he knows what he's talking about or not. This is all going to be very crucial conversations for the next couple of years, I'm sure. So, Evan, thanks for being here. Janine, back to you.
All right. Well, you've been hearing some great tips. Number one, rule, personal responsibility, pay attention. Don't be an ostrich. Don't stick your head in the sand. Take action. Evan's here to give you great tips. Evan, I'm going to kick it right back to you because I know you've got great stuff to share.
Yeah, and with all that's happened in this last year, it's even more imperative that everybody looks at their credit scores. If you had an accommodation worked out with a lender, you're going to want to check in and make sure that that's being reported accurately. Because as you can imagine, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's happened that's never happened in the history of credit reporting in this last year. So going back to the ingredients that go into making up that score, we left off at payment history. So the to-do item, pay your bills on time, even if you're making a minimum payment. It's so critical. Second item is debt utilization, which is worth 30% of your score, which is about 165 points, and that's a lot of points. Now, debt utilization is just a fancy way of saying how maxed out are your credit cards and your store cards, and it's a ratio. It's the total balance on all of your cards. You add all of the balances up, and you divide it by the sum of all of the credit limits on those cards, and that will give you a percentage. And the lower the number is, the more points you get. And I'm going to circle back to this because debt utilization is where you want to put your attention if you want to increase your credit score fast. And so we're going to come back to that in a sec. The third ingredient is age of file. So on credit reports, old is good. And age of file has two components to it. It's comprised of the age of your oldest account and the average age of all of your accounts. And it's worth about 15% of your score, coming out to around 82 points. And the big takeaway on age of file is don't close your open accounts if you don't have to. So clearly, if you pay off your mortgage, that account's going to close. Okay. But if you pay off a credit card, don't close the account. Cut up the card, put it in water, put it in the freezer, whatever you want to do. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. But don't close the account because that credit limit is helping your debt utilization component as well as age of file. So number four, inquiries. 10% of the score, about 55 points. And this is when people are checking your credit. Now, there's two kinds of credit inquiries. We refer to them as hard inquiries and soft inquiries. Hard inquiries are generally when you're looking for a loan and somebody is thinking about lending you money, they want to check out your credit report. And when they do that, it's going to create a hard inquiry, and that's going to cost you a handful of points. Now, a soft inquiry doesn't cost you any points at all, and that's when you're checking your own credit. Or maybe an auto insurance company is checking your credit score. Or some other soft inquiry like that. So that doesn't cost you any points at all. And the thing about inquiries is you don't want a whole bunch of inquiries in a small amount of time. Now that said, credit reporting has progressed to the point where if you are shopping for a mortgage and you approach four lenders and they all check your credit within a 45-day period of time, credit scoring is now recognizing that as one inquiry, as they figure, yeah, you're probably not buying four houses. You're probably buying one. And the same applies to automobiles. However, if you are applying for four credit cards, the deal's off. you're going to get penalized a handful of points for each one of those hard inquiries. And lastly, the fifth and final ingredient of credit scoring is mix of credit. You get extra points for having different kinds of credit loans. So if you have a credit card, that's revolving debt. That's one. If you have a mortgage, you know, that's, you know, a housing loan, that's a different kind. An installment loan, like a car or a education loan, where you're paying the same amount every month. So different kinds of credit pooled together count for mix of credit. And again, if you have different kinds, you're going to get extra points. It's worth 10% of the score or about 55 points. So those are the ingredients. And if you can get each one of those right, you don't even have to worry about what the score is. It's going to take care of itself.
Well, Evan,
now, I alluded to,
let's go back to mix of credit. If I have a mortgage and I have credit cards, is it, so you're saying it's better if I have another type of credit also?
I'm saying you get extra points for having a different kind of credit, yes.
Okay, so if I want to buy something at the jewelry store, I'm on installments, or what do you mean by that, a different type of credit?
Yeah. Well, let's just run with the example you just put out because it's a great one. If you are looking to increase your credit score and you're looking at every option and you look at your credit report and realize, I've got six credit cards. That's all revolving debt. That's the category it's in. But I have no installment loans. I paid off my car. I don't have any student loans. I don't have anything that's maybe I could get more points if I had an installment loan. And a jewelry store is actually a great place to have that happen, provided that they report to all three credit bureaus. And there's actually some companies, and you can do a Google search, actually some companies out there that are in existence as a service, essentially. Actually, they do two functions. They create these installment loans and report them to the bureaus for this specific purpose, and at the same time, they're selling a product. there is or was a company called myjeweler.com, something to that effect, and that's exactly what they did. And I honestly don't know if they're still going, but like I said, there are several companies that actually do that, and that's the purpose.
So, Evan, let me get your
different category.
So let's say I do go down and buy myself a nice watch, and do I ask them if they report to the credit bureaus?
If that's your goal, then you absolutely have to.
Okay.
It'd be a shame to go and take out a loan and then not get any credit for it, considering that was your whole mission to begin with.
Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do right now, we're getting here near the top of the hour, and I know, appreciate it, Peter, we have a little more time. Evan, I know you hit your list. Can you tell us a little bit about your business and how, if I was one of our listeners, like I've been friends with you for 20 years, business and personal, but if I'm listening tonight, I'm going to think, how can I reach out to Evan? Because in the area of credit, like myself, I just go, and then I need somebody to tell me what to do. So can you let our listeners know how they can connect with you, how they can find you, and what you actually do? And we so appreciate you sharing this free information to our listening audience. But I know you have some other resources available. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yep. You can always reach me through my website, baycreditrestore.com. But I also want to invite everyone to join our Facebook group. That's a great way to get in touch with me. I've teamed up with my friend Lori Ross, who also owns a credit repair company, and together we've launched the SCORE Momentum Group. And it's a place where you can get information, ask questions, and get the answers you need from people that know what they're talking about. And it's free, and it's a private group. So you just go to Facebook groups and then search SCORE Momentum, and you will find our group there, and we'd love to have you in the group. Like I said, we've got a lot of resources available. It's something we're just getting going, and we'll be present in that group on a daily basis. So that's probably the best way right now to get a hold of me.
Great. Okay. So, Peter, do you have anything you want to ask or interject before we close?
I do. I'm going to give him a real-life situation because sometimes when you work with real-life situations, it helps other people kind of understand how these things work. I don't really want or need extra credit. But PayPal, I signed into PayPal, and PayPal says, hey, you know, you qualify for our whatever business credit plan where you can get 6 months interest free. And they wanted me to sign up for the credit card thing. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? Maybe if I had more credit and wasn't using it, I would probably be okay. You know, that would be a good thing. Just, you know, just for a cushion, just because you never know what's going to happen. And I've been in situations like that where you just wish you had something. And especially if it might have to do with maybe a computer hardware, software, stuff like that. I might have to buy something for like a couple of grand. And maybe if they give me that, that's fine. But when I looked at the terms, it was like 27%. And I said, I wouldn't even take this. However, there's one part of me that says I wouldn't even use it. That's the part of me that says I would never want to pay 27%. But the part that says, well, maybe if I had that extra credit, I'm going to call it credit card or credit line, that might help increase my scores. So in that situation, I know it's hard to say specifically, but can you give us some guidelines? Take the credit opportunity, Peter, but just don't use it. Take the credit opportunity and make sure you pay it off so you'd never pay that 27%, or don't take it at all because having those kinds of credit is no good for you.
Yes. Okay. That's a great one because everybody has faced that that offer. Is there an annual fee?
No.
Okay.
Not that
so
I.
That's
not
a good
that
thing
I saw.
Because if you don't need it and you're staring at an annual fee, I would say no, right out of hand, because there's so many cards that you can get. This is a credit card, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, there's so many cards that don't have it as this one. So that's one thing. Well, there's a couple of effects that this will have on your score. So for debt utilization, again, 30% of your score is pretty significant. If you add credit limit, like let's say right now you have a number of cards and you have a total of $10,000 of credit limit. If you add, let's say this card is $1,000, you add $1,000 to that, well, now your balances are going to be divided by 11,000 rather than 10,000. which means your debt utilization percentage is going to be lower, which means you're going to get more points. So that would have a positive effect. Something that might have a negative effect is your age of file. Now remember, that was 15% of your score. Now, it won't affect the age of your oldest account. That's whatever it is. That's untouched. But the average age of all of your accounts could be affected, pretty negatively. If you opened all of your accounts 10 years ago and now you add a new one, well, your average age just got a lot newer and you get less points there. So there's always this kind of push-pull effect with just about everything when it comes to credit cards. I would never want to pay that. Isn't that illegal, 27%? I mean, if it's not, it should be.
It should be.
I think it was when we were kids, but I guess you could charge whatever you want now. My goodness, that's shocking, but all too common these days. And good on you that you're actually reading the terms and realizing, hey, this is what the downside is here. But if you're paying things off by the due date, then of course you're not incurring those finance charges, and then it's a moot point, and you're just benefiting from having the open account. This is a good segue into something I did want to make a point of, which was if you want to raise your credit card score fast, is paying down credit card debt. That is the fastest way. And something I hear all the time, I hear it from people right now, I can hear them through the line, is, but I pay off my credit card every month by the due date. Yeah, well, so do I. And I know that. And you know that, but you know who doesn't know that? Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. They go by the balance that's reported on the statement date. When your statement arrives or gets printed up and sent to you, you open it up and say, okay, here's what I have to pay by the due date. And so we get fixated on the due date, and rightly so. We don't want to incur those any kind of late charges, late fees. We don't want to be late. And in my case, I want to pay it all off because I hate those finance charges. But the bureaus, they only know what the amount was on the statement date. They don't know that I paid, if I paid. They don't know if I owed $1,000 on the statement date. They don't know if I paid $1,000, $500, $50. They have no idea. They only know what's there, and that's the number that's being used to generate your debt utilization score. And that's the reason why most people's scores can fluctuate quite a bit in the course of a month. So the inside baseball move here is if you are concerned about getting the most points you can, the best thing that you can do with your credit cards is to pay the balance off before the statement date, not the due date.
That's a great point.
So
okay,
go.
I'm going to give you one more scenario because this is going to be real life stuff for a lot of people that are here.
Yep.
A while back, as I was building my business, I had a lot more employees, and I had a lot more infrastructure, and I had a lot more credit cards, and I was running balances on a lot of them. I had, and this was right around the 2008 crash. So I don't know. I must have had maybe 5 or 6 credit cards. Maybe each one of them had $5,000, and I was probably running balances of $1,000 to $2,000 on each one. I had one credit line with American Express, actually it was a credit card. $50,000 was the credit limit, so obviously, you know, they felt good enough about me to do whatever. I was buying some inventory, I was paying $5,000 a month on bandwidth, had about a $20,000 balance out of the $50,000. All of a sudden, I went one day to go pay the bandwidth for the $5,000, and it was declined. And I said, how can this be declined? I have $30,000 more. Well, I called American Express. Remember, I'm bringing you back to something that may be happening sometime soon for some people, especially now with this real estate bubble that we might be in. Well, American Express said, oh, we took a look at everybody. Even though you've been paying the bill on time and more than you're supposed to, blah, 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 you're a good customer. We're just reducing credit lines. We're being very cautious. It's nothing about you. mm-hmm. which is reducing credit lines. So they reduced my credit line down to, I'm going to use the number. Now, this is not factually correct, but I'm just giving you, like, mm-hmm. the idea. It was, like, $20,000 yeah. I had. They gave me $20,100 credit line. So basically, they maxed me out. So I said to myself, uh-oh, this is not good. Based on what you told us about ratios, I said, I'm already mm-hmm. at 95%, 90-whatever percent of my available limit has been reduced by them. Within 1 month, every credit card I had did exactly the same thing. If I had a $5,000 credit and I had a $1,500 balance, it gave me $1,600 total. My cash flow was gone. Well, I got pissed, and I started canceling credit cards. I'm like, screw you. Like, I'm not taking this. Screw you. Screw you. And I was canceling credit cards. So you could just imagine, I am committing, like, you're sitting there saying, you know, Peter, you're committing Harry Carey suicide. You jumped off the building. What the hell?
I can sympathize with the frustration, and that would be a common reaction, I think, that people would have. And I'm glad you're bringing this up, because this is absolutely, it's happening, and it's going to keep happening. And it happens, as you pointed out, 2008 was a real crunch. Anytime the financing industry gets crunched or taxed, or however you want to say it, gets pinched, then they are going to try to stay safe. They're all about safety, right? They're all about risk and reducing risk as much as possible. And if they know that people are stretched and are likely to try to borrow money that perhaps is going to be difficult for them to pay back, then their reaction is, oh, well, heck with that. We're not going to give them access to that money. We know this is going to happen. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. We're going to cut this off right now. And so that's a very common reaction by lenders, is to reduce credit limits. And also, if you haven't used a card in a couple of years, you may go to use it and find out that your card isn't even active anymore. So they're going to look up the dead wood and get rid of that as well, for the same reason. Any kind of credit limit that's open and available is a risk for them when times are tough.
So let me give a case in point. It almost gave me a little bit of a heart attack. I was away at the beginning part of July, and I see a headline, or I hear a headline, Wells Fargo shuts down the credit line for their customers effective almost immediately. Wells Fargo, which is a pretty big bank, just shut mm-hmm. off the personal credit lines of their customers. They shut off the personal credit lines of their customers, not their business credit lines, but the personal credit lines. And I was like, I had a mini heart attack, like a PTSD thing. I'm like, oh my God, all over again. What are they doing?
Yeah.
But what happened was, I remembered now, wait a minute, I have a credit card with Wells Fargo. I don't have a credit line with Wells Fargo, besides that, business versus personal. But the reality is, this just happened at the beginning of July. And they made a note that if there's any businesses or people that shut their accounts off, they're going to look really negative about that. Like, so if you have a little hissy fit and you say, screw Wells Fargo, I'm going to close that account and I'm going to go do something else, they're not going to look kindly on that if you're one of their customers who throw a hissy fit about that movement. So I'm going to say that if it happened once, it's going to probably happen again. It's probably going to be Wells Fargo's testing the waters to see what's going to happen, and everybody else is looking at it. And then there's one last thing I want you to comment on. During this coronavirus pandemic, whatever you want to call it, they've had a whole freeze on evictions, where landlords could not evict people because they fell behind on their rent or their mortgage. And that's expiring, like, right now, but they're probably going to extend it. Well, eventually someone's going to stop kicking that can down the road. What's going to happen to the credit status of those people when eventually the government basically lets those people hang out to dry, those people who have not been paying their mortgages or their rents on time for legitimate or whatever reasons?
Yeah, it's well, I know it hasn't happened in my lifetime. So, I mean, this is new territory, and we're all just guessing at what it's going to look like. I'll take that first part first. And, yeah, that's just, you know, Wells closing down. It's the same dynamic that we were just talking about with credit cards. Any kind of exposure for additional lending, they are taking hard – every bank's taking a hard look at right now. So the important thing is if you have something, keep it active, keep it open, don't close it. Even if you get mad about it, pay it down to zero. Like I said, cut up the card or, you know, just pretend it doesn't exist, but don't close it. But they will, you know, they can do pretty much whatever they want, as you can imagine. He who has the gold makes the rules. They can reduce credit limits. They can increase interest rates. I think really the only requirement is that they have to give you some kind of notice. Of course, that's all spelled out in the fine print that we sign on to when we take out these loans. But to the second point, what's going to happen? It's going to be very interesting. And right now, again, never happened before, really. With credit reports, the CARES Act, you know, obviously made it possible for people to make accommodations with their lenders, skip payments, miss payments, put it off, whatever you worked out, and at the same time said, okay, and don't put that on their credit reports either. The government said, don't put that on the credit reports. Don't tell, you know, there's really no, in a credit report, there's no mention whether you've been missing payments or not right now. Well, guess what? Every lender knows that. So the credit score on the credit report means less than it did, you know, before the pandemic, before the CARES Act, because they know that there's this inaccuracy being built into the whole thing. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, I remember 2008. Yeah, go ahead, Janine.
I just want to jump in. I actually have to jump off because I have a call about to jump on with some people in Singapore. But I want to let you and Peter continue. But I just want to let you know how much I appreciate you, your knowledge, everything you share. I'm going to jump off. You guys stay on. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Janine.
Well, thank you, Janine, for sharing the mic with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. I was going to say, I remember 2008, and I remember when – now, that was pretty much confined to the mortgage industry, and we didn't see the full strength of the foreclosures until 2010, 2012. That window right there, I remember, was when, you know, people do whatever they can to stave off, you know, the bad effects. And in that instance, it took a couple years for it to really play out. And then we had this wave of foreclosures and banks, you know, bank repossessions and then houses for sale by the banks. And, yeah, and people were taking hits on their credit reports because of those short sales, which you call them what you want. They really were – they carried the same weight as a foreclosure. So we're going to see a similar effect, I would imagine. And this is why it's important. If you've made accommodations with a lender to be, you know, putting off payments, and you're going to want to take a hard look at your credit report to make sure that it reflects the agreement that you made with your lender. So if there was a deal made that you were going to miss 5 months, well, then, you know, that should be reflected on the report. It shouldn't come out and say, you know, your account is closed and we're charging off this amount because you didn't pay us and we're taking a collection. No, you had a deal. So you're going to really want to see what's showing up on that report, because all kinds of crazy stuff is probably about to happen.
Yep. And as people are going to be moving, I think we're going to probably have a lot more people applying for rent in lots of different places. And I know, obviously, when people go to apply, their credit score is going to be really important for that application. And in a lot of places where there's managed like a lot of people don't realize, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and if you have to leave, and I know, Janine, we're a little bit over on the time frame, so if you have to leave as well, that's fine. But I know I know a lot of real estate companies have bought, really big real estate companies have bought apartment complexes and whole entire home subdivisions. So a lot of homes are now bought by big corporations. Big corporations
right.
aren't mom and pops. They use management organizations to manage their facilities, which means that they go by things like credit scores more heavily than maybe a mom and pop who might interview you and then make a decision based on you versus based on your credit score. So I don't know that much about your business, but I'm just going to guess that credit score is going to be even more important for those people that are going to be looking for renting places or buying than ever before, because so many people are going to have blemished credit. Like, so many people are going to have blemished credit. Everybody's going to have a story. So back to you.
I agree. I agree that I think your assessment's spot on, and I would take it to the next step is, well, what's that going to do to the average credit score? And I would think that it's going to drop it. And, you know, we've seen it in print that this year average credit scores have increased. People have paid down debt in the last year. But what's missing there are the payments, the forbearances and the IOUs that have been out there. And when that all gets back in play, like you said, I think scores might take a tumble. And then it's your guess as good as mine as to how a potential apartment landlord is going to look at that. I mean, certainly they are going to start out with a high number that they're going to request because they want to shoot for the best credit scores to populate their apartments. But are they going to get them? Are there going to be enough great scores to fill their apartment building? And if there aren't, then they're going to have to start lowering their expectation. And it'll be interesting to see. And that'll be a case by case basis. But you know it's going to happen. So it just depends on how many people there are that are, you know, in that same class of score. So. I wish I knew, but I just know it's going to be confusing. I think the next couple of years are just going to be confusing, sorting out these forbearances. I'm also concerned for the landlords that haven't been receiving. You know, it's very difficult to get any kind of movement from mortgage lenders when there's late payments on an account. So again, it's going to come down to whatever accommodations were agreed upon and then making sure that the credit reports reflect the agreements that were made between the lender and the consumer.
Yeah, some of the people that I respect the most are older than me, and they when they were growing up, they bought an extra home and rented it out and bought an extra apartment complex maybe, or maybe with a few apartments and rented that out. So in essence, they became kind of like their passive income was by being a landlord and having these renters. Well, that sounds great when the economy is great and you're positive cash flow. When we hit a pandemic and lots of people can't go to work and they're losing their jobs or whatever, and then they have the opportunity to forego their rent, I don't know what happened to those people. Like, the people that I admired most might have been the ones that are right now suffering the most because of this challenge. And it's really scary. It's really scary from every end.
It is.
So whether it's the small landlord or the person who got mixed up in this for no fault of their own because the government says we have to shut your businesses down, it's really very, very, very scary and very interesting. And I think what happened in 2008 is going to look like nothing. It's going to look like child's play compared to what's going to happen in the next couple of years. And that's really sad. So
yeah,
for those
yeah.
people listening in,
yeah.
I know you gave out that website where people can go get their credit, not their credit score, but their credit report, so they can see the entries on there. And if I wrote it down the right way, I think you said it was annualcreditreport.com. So annualcreditreport.com for those people that are listening in. And Evan had mentioned to us that you can apply for that with no penalty as much as every week, if that's still applicable.
That's right.
That's because of the CARES Act. That's huge news. I mean, you're a wealth of information on this call. Okay, so
yeah.
Tell people one last time how they can get in touch with you. We'll wrap it up.
Yes. So you can always reach me through my website, which is www.baycreditrestore.com. My email is Evan, E-V-A-N, at baycreditrestore.com. And like I said earlier, I'd like to invite everybody to come join our Facebook group. It's free. It's a private group, and it's called Score Momentum. And so you go to Facebook groups and just search for the title Score Momentum, and that'll navigate you right there. And we'd love to have you in. Great place to ask questions and get answers from people that know what they're talking about.
And I know for a lot of people that might be listening in, spelling counts, so it's Bay that starts off with a B, like boy. So Bay.
Oh, correct.
Credit.
Yes.
Yep. Bay Credit Score. Credit Store.
Bay
Credit. No, I'm sorry. Bay Credit Restore. .com.
Yep.
So we'll have this in the notes well. If you go to Evan Palmer as a guest, it's right there too. So we'll catch you next time, everybody. Evan, thanks so much for being here. Janine, thanks for. I know she's not here, but she does some great great stuff as far as sharing this information. And this one's a real important call. Thanks for being here, everyone. Thanks, Evan.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.